As the former emergency manager of the city of Flint, our first guest has come under fire recently. Some are blaming Darnell Early for not stopping or reversing the city's 2013 decision to switch its water source to the Flint River. That move led to dangerously high lead levels in drinking water. Mr. Early left his Flint position early this year. Today, he's the EM for the Detroit Public Schools, trying to right the historically troubled district. It faces more than $500 million in debt and numerous academic challenges in both roles. The ordained Baptist deacon has remained a resident of Delta Township adjacent to Lansing. Darnell Early, welcome back to Current State.
Thank you, Mark.
You've taken a lot of criticism for downplaying your role in Flint's transition to river water. You have claimed, among other things, that the plan was already in place when you arrived. Tell us more about that.
Well, again, contrary to the reports in the media and other rhetoric, the decision to switch to the KWA, which is the Karagandhi Water Authority that was put together in Genesee County, that decision was made at the local level by local civic leaders before I began my term as emergency manager. And the decision to separate from Detroit Water and Sewerage Department and to go forward with the Karagandhi Water Authority also included the decision to pump Flint River water in the interim. And both were a part of a long-term plan that was approved by Flint's mayor and confirmed by the city council on a vote of 7-1 on March 25 of 2013. This plan was presented to me when I was appointed as Flint emergency manager in October of 2013, a full 7 months after the city council's affirmative vote. And I think what's key here, Mark, is that people should understand that coming out of the long-term contract with DWSD, there had always been discussions about an alternative water source. And the Flint River has served as the backup for the water source for a number of years. And that was the rationale given to me by staff when they presented the plan to me. Just like any other appointment I've had as a city manager, county administrator, when I come into a city or a school district, I meet with staff, I find out what the issues are, where are you in terms of the things that you've done before. This was one of the issues, obviously, was the contract with DWSD was ending, and it ended on the 14th of April of 2014. But that was a plan already underway, and the rationale, as I said, was given to me. So my role in that particular portion of it was just to make sure that the things that needed to get done got done, because under Public Act 436, the emergency manager does have the authority to execute the legal documents regarding the operation of the city.
A number of critics, though, seem to be saying that any person assigned the responsibility and the title of emergency manager who is familiar with the situation should have intervened and stopped the plan.
Well, there was no reason for me to. I mean, there was no indication at any point. Obviously, what we know now was a possible consequence. Staff was working consistently with the State Department of Environmental Quality, with its engineers. The plan was on track to switch from the DWSD to the Flint River for the next 18 months to 2 years when the KWA is supposed to be completed. I had no reason to second guess that. There was nothing given to me that said in April of 2014 that we shouldn't do it.
Tons of people, though, with a good deal of justification, I think, are calling out for accountability. You've had time to consider this. Who should be held accountable for what's happened?
Well, there are a lot of people that are involved in the process. The process is more than just saying, yes, we're going to go with the Flint River. I mean, the process is ending I think it was 50-year contract with Detroit Water and Sewer, wherein the city was just another customer, into going with the KWA and also providing an alternative water source that the city could afford going forward. The plan included all of those elements when I got there in October. There were two emergency managers who oversaw that switch from the DWSD until I got there and obviously saw the final implementation of the switch. But I don't go into a situation and just arbitrarily start changing what's already in place. I work with the staff and with the elected officials to the extent that they're willing to work with an emergency manager to keep moving forward with what they have in place. And
could you say the DEQ dropped the ball here, though?
You know, Mark, I don't want to say who did what because I'm not privy to all those conversations. I don't know from a factual basis, you know, what those decisions were made, be they EPA, be they the staff at the city of Flint. They're the ones that treat the water. You know, the emergency managers don't treat the water. They treat the water based on the guidelines provided to them by the regulatory agency. So I want to refrain from saying someone is responsible because that will all come out, obviously, when there is a review of this matter in terms of whose responsibility was what and how well that responsibility was carried out.
Well, in retrospect, 2020 hindsight, do you feel you were sufficiently aware of the details of Flint's challenges there with regard to the quality of the Flint River water, for example?
Well, again, that decision was made, and, of course, they had all of the requisite sign-offs and approvals to do it. So that was not an issue for me. The only time that became an issue was when the water started flowing and they started having problems with it. And one of the first things I did was to enlist a consultant, a water quality consultant, to come in and take a look at that. So from April until about December, we worked trying to figure out what the issues were and correct them. I was more concerned with finding solutions to the problems than second-guessing the local elected officials and the staff and the State Department of Environmental Quality.
Darnell Early is the emergency manager for the Detroit Public Schools, former emergency manager for the city of Flint. We're talking about challenges and issues associated with both of those roles. It's not uncommon that emergency managers change before a municipality or a school district emerges from emergency status. You went to Flint when Michael Brown resigned, and the city was not out of, you know, emergency status. When we're talking emergency management, as it's practiced in Michigan here, should changing horses in the middle of the stream be avoided?
No, I think that in the case of a distressed community or a school district, the emergency manager has the responsibility, I believe, to go in and lay out a plan for his or her term and follow that plan. Now, when that individual leaves, as I did in January of this year, then another emergency manager was appointed and basically kept the plan moving forward so that ultimately, the city could emerge from emergency management. And I think that there's a lot of misconception about the role of emergency managers in Michigan, which compounds the discussion. We are, in my particular case, we're public administrators. We're managers. I do no different in my role as a city manager than I do as an emergency manager. That includes strategic planning. It includes assessment. It includes the kind of things that I would do to manage a city or a school district. So change happens inevitably, and just depending on how the previous emergency manager has approached his or her role, it's for all intents and purposes is a seamless change. When I left, there were still contract issues to be resolved. I think the emergency manager appointed after I left Flint followed those, and the goal was to turn the city back over to the local officials once there was a financial plan in place and some of those issues were taken care of.
I've got to ask you one other thing here, though. One line from the op-ed that you wrote that appeared in the Detroit News, quote, "It did not fall to me to question, second guess, or invalidate the actions taken prior to my appointment," unquote. And that's basically what you've been telling us here today. It's clear, given the way that the water decision turned out, doesn't this beg the question, were there other decisions made prior to your arrival that you didn't second guess that may also have been wrong? Is that possible?
Well, I don't think so, Mark, because here again, once the regulatory agencies approved the use of the water supply and once the staff understood what had to happen to make the water potable, and once the effort was made to move forward and to retrofit the treatment plant to cover the water, I mean, it was a functional plan. What happened was the unintended consequences of a negative outcome relative to the requirements for treating river water, as well as the age and infrastructure of the distribution systems, and thereby creating the lead issues that are in the news today.
Congressman Kildee is calling for an EPA investigation. The governor's appointed a task force. Do you think that any investigation would absolve you of any culpability here?
Well, I'm not so much concerned about that because I know what the facts are. And anyone who looks at the facts will see that this entire project didn't just start in April of 2013 or 14, whatever the case might be. This is a long-term discussion about using the Flint River as a potential water source. It came out as a alternative to the switch from the long-term contract from DWSD to KWA, but all of the requisite requirements and all of the due diligence had been done. And so there was no reason. In fact, no one came to me and told me, you got to undo this or you got to change this. I mean, that was not an issue.
The water crisis has triggered, predictably, another heated conversation about the value of the emergency manager law itself. You alluded to this earlier. How do you try to persuade critics of the law of its value?
Well, you know, it's just like any other situation where there is a need for intervention. And what I've found managing in distressed communities, both in the cities and townships and now in school districts, is that these areas are pretty much consumed with the lack of revenue, lack of tax base, and all those things that create, if you would, a perfect storm towards some form of economic or financial distress. And if they continue along the path without some change, we don't see a change in their ability to make the tough decisions. Emergency managers are brought in to intervene for a brief period of time. It's 18 months. The idea being that the things that need to get done are under the auspice of the state's appointed emergency manager to get those done. And so I would argue that without that, the city of Flint would be in a lot worse financial and other difficulty. The city of Detroit, obviously, we know where that would be, but for the good work of the emergency manager and so many people who were a part of that. So I would argue that there is a place and a need for that, and people should probably try and understand more what it is instead of automatically condemning it because of the reasons that have been cited.
We've got to switch gears here in the time that we have left to talk about the Detroit schools situation. The governor's plan is out there and is on the table. You appeared last week at the legislature about the plan. It creates a legacy school district that retains $715 billion or so?
No, it's, million. Yeah. That's million.
$715 million.
I beg your pardon.
Not a B. And it creates a new district that would be funded, at least initially, by the state. Remind us of what were the thrust of your comments at the legislature last week?
Well, I think it's important for the legislature to understand, and this begins the discussion. As you may or may not know, the bills and the details have yet to be introduced. I think they're coming very soon. But in the meantime, we use that time, the state treasurer and I, to share with House Appropriations Subcommittee on the issues that we think are important. And they are, number one, that I can't cut enough money out of the budget and lay off enough people and still remain solvent to deal with that debt issue. So if we take away the debt issue, which is roughly about $515 million, with about $200,000 to start up a new Detroit community schools. If we do that, we're in a much better position to manage our way out of the predicted issues of lower revenues and expenditures and loss in student enrollment, just like any other district in Michigan. So what I want the legislature to understand is that when we talk about this new co and old co, we're actually talking about a new Detroit community schools that will function like any other school district in the state, but will be better able to manage itself around the same issues as other school districts have because it won't have that that crushing deficit that comes right off the top of our operating to pay back.
Details aside, a lot of observers are saying this is going to be a really tough sell in the legislature. Have you gotten much response from after your appearance last week, are you concerned?
Well, I think that there are more legislators now who want to know the facts. And, Mark, that is so important when you're talking about the issues of managing in distressed urban communities, because a lot of what you hear is not factual. For example, there was some trepidation about cutting other school funds to give them to Detroit, and that's not the issue. There is a tendency to believe that because Detroit have its history, and some of the financial challenges that it's had, will not be able to survive even if they give the money to Detroit or if they take care of the debt and pass the bills. But that's not true. Again, we're putting together a new Detroit community schools that will be manageable just like any other school district. And I think that the legislature, when they see that and understand that we're not talking about your perceptions or the general perceptions of what Detroit Public Schools represent, we're talking about the future, and we're talking about an investment in the lives of some 47,000 students. And I would hope that that would lend itself to much more scrutiny and ask the questions. We can get you that information about the future, but we're on a path to do that.
Darnell Early is the emergency manager for the Detroit Public Schools. Prior to that, the emergency manager for the city of Flint. He's been our guest today. Darnell, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.